You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
What is your current theory today, you know, as to how COVID started?
I would say we don't know for certain, but I would say what Dr. Fauci said yesterday was verifiably false. He said no NIH money went to the Wuhan Institute for gain of function. Well, the main doctor there, the one they call the bat scientist or the bat woman, is a woman named Dr. Shi Zengali. She wrote a paper that MIT scientists have looked at that they said was gain of function, meaning juicing up these viruses to make them very potent and infect humans. She wrote this paper, and in the paper acknowledged that her funding came from Dr. Fauci's group, the NIAID, which is part of NIH.
Part of NIH. May 12th, 2021. That was Senator Rand Paul, Republican of Kentucky, answering a question posed on Fox News. What do you think was the origin of COVID? He said, I don't know for sure. But I got a lot of questions about what Dr. Fauci has known and what he's contributed to the research at this lab in Wuhan through the NIH, the National Institutes for Health. And as you heard him say directly, Dr. Fauci lied in a Senate hearing. That's perjury. You swear that you're going to tell the honest truth when you're answering these questions from members of Congress. Now, where it's going to go from there, I'm not sure right now. And, of course, you've got those on the what were mainstream media, now state-controlled media, on the attack. The very ones who claim all the time, listen to the science, listen to the science. And now Dr. Fauci being questioned about apparently some evidence that exists that shows his group was involved in supporting some of that Wuhan research. He could claim, well, I didn't know it was going for that. We just put it into consortium. I didn't know exactly how it was spent. But there are apparently detailed papers that spell it out. But beyond that, state-controlled media is not going after Dr. Fauci. Oh, no, no, no. What can we do to discredit Senator Rand Paul? And, of course, today, as I watch the state-controlled media go wacko because Republican Wyoming Senator Liz Cheney was removed from her position in the House because she's been against many conservatives and she's been anti-Trump and she's been trying to run the game around to get control of the party, and they've said, that's not good. You're out of here. And it's not just personalities. The Republicans made that move because Cheney has not been good at helping them fundraise and get campaigns won. But here is a Republican that, again, the state-controlled media comes to the aid. Oh, my God. You would have thought they were trying to oust Nancy Pelosi from the House today in her position, or Chuck Schumer in the Senate, the way the state-controlled media rushed in defense of Liz Cheney. In the meantime, we have some real battles going on. 500 rockets raining down on Israel overnight. Israel responding. Deaths on both sides. Military targets. But as always, collateral damage, civilians, children. Especially when Hamas put some of their facilities next to children's homes and hospitals. Question, who supplied those rockets to Hamas? Iran. The Biden administration not showing any strength, no courage against Iran previously. What are they going to do now? Where is Senator Chuck Schumer, a Jew? Why is he not speaking out against this? We know where Congresswoman Omar is. She's Muslim and anti-Semite, always charging and making accusations against the Israeli nation. But, of course, from Senator Chuck Schumer, apparently, so far, nothing. And the Biden administration, pretty much nothing. The minority owner African-American Republican shareholder of the Cincinnati Reds, Ken Blackwell, was interviewed for Breitbart talking about the series being moved out of Atlanta to Denver. And he said, clearly, it is stupid, and it's costing black Americans in Atlanta and black businesses a ton of money without any reason other than playing politics. We'll get into that story. Gas shortages, they are real. They are real, but some folks are maybe panicking over it. We're going to give you a better lay of the land coming up shortly. And, of course, inflation is following. Biden administration, this hacking of that Colonial Pipeline, they're going to use that as an excuse, say, that's why inflation is up. But there's another shortage, a bigger shortage that could spell the end of the world. Lock and load, ready, on the right.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
If you think disinfecting a home or office for COVID is way too expensive, I've got great news for you. Wellington Environmental can disinfect most homes for less than $300. I know you were thinking the cost would be two, three, maybe four times as much. Wellington can professionally disinfect most homes for less than $300. Cost for most offices, not much higher. You get the same professional treatment that Wellington provides hospitals and nursing homes. Also, Wellington is selling professional fogging devices. The cost, $500. But say you heard about it from Larry Connors and save $100. Here's a phone number to schedule Wellington to treat your home or office. 314-644-4930. I urge you to get on the schedule early. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Be well with Wellington. Wellington Environmental. My sponsors keep this program on the air. So my thanks to John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest price. So when you need a roof, remember this sponsor for this program, John Beal Roofing. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Well, I started out with $1 million, gambled with a man and I won me another, bought me a gun and I robbed my brother. I'm bad, but I don't care, boys. I'm gonna be a millionaire.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA. Waves.
We've seen more than 500 rockets fired from Gaza into southern and central Israel. It all started yesterday around 6 p.m. when Hamas, the group in control of Gaza, threatened to fire rockets towards Jerusalem. They kept their promise and did just that. Israel has been responding across the Gaza Strip with airstrikes and drone strikes. We do know inside Gaza, according to the Palestinian Health Ministry, at least 30 people are dead, some of them children. On the Gazan side, we also know that Islamic Jihad has lost at least three rocket commanders from targeted strikes by the Israelis, and a 13-story building also destroyed, as the factions there say if any more towers are hit, they will fire more rockets towards Tel Aviv. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu says that he will use all the force that he can to restore security to the area.
That is a report from Trey Yanks on behalf of Fox News, reporting from Israel on the rocket fire and attacks back and forth through yesterday and overnight. He mentioned that Israel has taken out some of the Hamas leaders. Israel is claiming that they took out the Hamas Gaza City commander by one airstrike. They took out the guy they identify as the highest-ranking military figure in Hamas to be killed by Israel since 2014. And Hamas is confirming, yes, he was killed. They also add that he was killed along with a few of his fellow brothers of leaders and holy fighters. All this in the fighting that's been underway now for 2 days in Gaza. As I mentioned earlier, anytime you have something like this, you're going to have collateral damage, civilian damage. The Israeli strikes are targeting military targets and where those rockets originate, but too many times they are right in the midst of a populated area. They're putting their own at risk. In Israel, they're just trying to keep these rockets from raining down, the so-called Iron Dome. constantly active overnight, missiles being fired up to stop the rockets before they could get in and cause more damage. And yet there still are numerous reports of damage. There are no signs this is going to let up as this violence between the Israelis and Palestinians has started. And it all started when Hamas rocket fire started to rain down on Israel. The UN is warning already. The UN is warning that the conflict could mushroom into, and I'm quoting the United Nations now. This is not my wording. The UN Special Coordinator for the Middle East Peace Process stating, "Stop the fire immediately. We're escalating towards a full-scale war. The cost of war in Gaza is devastating. It's being paid by ordinary people. UN is working with all sides, trying to restore calm. Stop the violence now." Now, we said something like 500 rockets have rained down on parts of Israel's just overnight. Now, that makes almost 1,000 since all this began Monday afternoon. 5 Israeli civilians, we know, have been killed, more than 200 injured, and among those dead in Israel, also some, at least one or more of the Israeli Defense Forces. And of course, retaliation by Israel, firing back. Some of those rockets do get through the Israeli Iron Dome air defense system. Some did hit Tel Aviv, a bus set on fire, one Israeli woman killed. Thousands of Israelis spent their night in bomb shelters. Gaza has very few bomb shelters, no air defense equipment. Several buildings and apartments damaged already by the Israeli strikes, and one of them did bring down, as you heard the report from Trey Yangst, a 13-story building. The Israeli Defense Forces, the IDF, said that building was a stronghold of Hamas military intel and weapons research. That is their statement. I have no reason to doubt it or question it. Of course, if you already have picked the, as you want to say, a dog in this fight, then you're going to either believe them or you're not. Al-Qaeda is claiming Israel has deliberately targeted civilian homes and crowded residential neighborhoods, adding that 43% of the victims of the strikes in Gaza were children and women. But I will remind you, and this is a standard fact in dealing with terrorist groups. We saw it with Al-Qaeda. We saw it with the Taliban. They will always put their forces and their resources in the midst of civilians for two reasons. One, thinking, well, they won't try to hit here because they don't want to deal with the civilian casualties, the so-called collateral damage. And two, they don't really care. They don't really care if they're hit there because they will use that as a propaganda device. One founder of a group called Strategic Studies, or PAL, think for Strategic Studies, telling CNN that Gazans felt trapped. He said, "I'm in Gaza now. I'm in my home. I cannot get out. Gaza is too small. You cannot escape from one place to another." The Israeli defense minister, on last word that I'm reading from him, is that right now there is no end date for this military operation against Gaza. The response from the Hamas leader in a speech last night, "We're ready if you want to ramp up. If Israel wants to escalate, we're ready for it. And if it wants to stop, we're also ready. If they want to remove their hand over Jerusalem, we're ready." Again, this is all the battle over that territory and land. It's been that way for decades now. But this fighting now, this is some of the heaviest fighting, and the highest-ranking military figure in Hamas, as I said, to be killed by Israel since 2014. We have the Hamas militants have been controlling, along with other commanders, different districts of the Gaza Strip. They form the Hamas Military Council. That's the highest body that decides what militant operations are going to carry out. But meanwhile, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu declaring that Israel will use, and I'm quoting him, "an iron fist if needed," to stop the widespread protest that have already resulted in arrest, injuries, property damage, before all of this moved to that level. One reporter who's been on the scene and covering this for some time, not just this event, but prior events as well, Douglas Murray, a British author and political commentator, and he gives a view that, yes, if you are a supporter of Israel, you're going to say it's slanted for Israel. As a reporter, he says, I'm just trying to give you the facts as I see them on the ground. You can make your own decision. Now, I accept what he has to say, but I'm not telling you to. But again, this is Douglas Murray, a British author, political commentator.
Like many journalists, I've seen it up close. I've seen it firsthand. And I know, as everyone in the region does, what is happening here. Hamas and Islamic Jihad and other groups fire rockets into Israel. Israel responds, and then much of the world's media blames Israel for responding. Many politicians across the world, including in the American Congress, do the same thing. They say, how dare Israel respond to people firing rockets into their territory?
He's exactly right. And that's pretty much what you're getting from two members of Congress in particular. Ilhan Omar is obviously one of them. But I still say, where is Senator Chuck Schumer and other Jews that are members of the Congress? Why are they not speaking out on behalf of Israel? If you recall, when Biden got into office, he never really got around to calling Netanyahu directly. He finally did. He finally did have a conversation with him sometime late April. Now, that had to be really an effective conversation, calling that late, when they are our greatest ally in the Middle East. And, of course, we have the issue that with Hamas having all of these rockets, that they fired already 1,000 rockets, 500 overnight, and these are more sophisticated rockets than they've had in the past. And, of course, the question is, where did they get them? Well, the word has been that Iran has been supplying. We have said that repeatedly. Iran sanctions terrorism around the world. That's why they want all the economic sanctions lifted from them, which President Trump put in place and walked away from the nuclear deal treaty that Obama wanted to be part of his legacy. And what we have again is that the Biden administration suddenly bowing, scraping down. What can we do to make you happy? And then we want to have talks with you. And the response from Iran is, we're not ready to talk to you. In other words, you're going to have to be a lot more apologetic. You're going to have to do a lot more backing up. You're going to have to show us every card you've got before we even want to talk to you. And the Biden administration's not able to get anything moving because they know they're starting from a position of weakness. And that's why all this is escalating at this point. And in fact, Douglas Murray, again, the British author and political commentator covering the Israeli, Hamas, and Gaza Strip issues for years, is talking about not only the fact that the weapons came from Iran, but how big this test is for the Biden administration.
This was confirmed, by the way, overnight. A spokesperson for Islamic Jihad in the Gaza, who've been firing many of these rockets, thanked Iran for the much higher quality of rocket which they've got at the moment. Thanks to the Iranians, Islamic Jihad, Hamas, have got a better quality of rocket this time. And you can see the effects of that over the skies of Israel. The footage overnight is just terrifying. The interceptor missiles the Israelis have to fire, all clashing with the missiles fired from Gaza by these groups. The rockets are better this time because Iran has been sending better rockets. And if America and the rest of the international community thinks that Iran can just be allowed to get away with this, then they will get away with a lot more down the road. Iran is testing everybody. And primarily at the moment, they are testing the United States. This is a very early and very tricky test for the Biden administration. And we'll see whether they pass that test or not. But the consequences of failing are very severe.
They're very severe, not only for the Middle East, but for the world. Before we wrap up this hour, I'm going to be joined by a guest from the Center for Security Policy, David Wormser. He's the director of the Project on Global Antisemitism and the U.S.-Israeli Relationship. I want to get his take on these latest events set against history and, of course, the future as well. But if you again are watching the state-controlled media that wants to put at this time all the blame on the Israelis, saying that if you have rockets fired in your territory, you just sit there and take it? Is that what they're saying? I've got an MSNBC contributor, David Frum, and others stretching forward and saying they're using all of this to criticize Jared Kushner during the Trump administration, trying to normalize some deals between Israel and Middle Eastern countries. So Frum, who's a writer at The Atlantic, suggesting that this violence now is somehow the fault of the Trump administration. They said, remember all the Trump-Kushner self-congratulation about their Middle East success? And so he is saying that these Abraham Accords are part of the reason. And he says partly because they were severed from the Palestinian issue. Well, they were not part of the Palestinian issue, but that was part of a deal at that time to bring some peace and hopefully stability. And, of course, with the attitude of the not only state-controlled media, but the big tech companies on shutting down Trump or anybody that a subject they don't like, they have allowed, since all of this started, Iran's Ayatollah on Twitter repeatedly, pointing out that Zionists had turned occupied Palestine into a base for terrorism. Israel isn't a country, it's a terrorist camp. They allow that to go on and then claim that Donald Trump was suspended because he was inciting violence. I think that's pretty close to inciting violence as well. Let's take a moment to come back, talk about our gas shortages as we have them.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
So we are seeing a report come from the EPA now issuing an emergency fuel waiver to alleviate fuel shortages in a number of states. Of course, all of this happening because of the ransomware attack on the Colonial Pipeline. That pipeline, 5,500 miles long, delivering about 45% of all fuel needs, mainly to the Northeast, but up and down the East Coast. It does include areas even Georgia and Florida and Mississippi in some areas. So now as a EPA emergency fuel waiver, states will be able to sell gasoline that normally would not be allowed due to ozone pollution regulations until May 31st of 2021. Part of the Clean Air Act. They're giving a waiver for that right now. So again, the pipeline itself primarily carries gasoline and other fuel from Texas refineries to the Northeast. Hackers got into the system, paralyzed the network, demanding a ransom to give them the key to unlock it. And then, of course, I talked to a security expert yesterday. He said, then what they do is say, okay, here's the key to unlock it. But now if you don't want us to sell the information we got from you while we were inside your files, you're going to have to pay more. Now, here's the way things are happening right now, according to Gas Buddy, an app that tracks fuel demand, prices, and outages. Most of the issue happening right now in the Southeast. 73% of gas stations in Pensacola, Florida, impacted. 72% of gas stations of reporting outages in Raleigh, North Carolina. Outages of impacting 70-plus percent in Charlotte, North Carolina, 60% of those impacted in Atlanta. And, of course, the greater threat is those in the Northeast that rely on it. And it's not just gas and fuel for you and your family to get around, things of that nature. Truckers, they had to worry about it. I talked to a guy yesterday. He told me that a trucking friend of his said he had to shut down his rig 150 miles from home because he wasn't sure he was going to have enough fuel to get there. And he thought, I better save what I can right now and see where I'm going to be able to go and get some before I try to complete the trip. And we also have airlines deciding, what are they going to do? Because airports do not routinely handle or contain more than 2, maybe 3 days of fuel at max because it comes and goes with airliners in and out being refueled and the fuel is being delivered on a constant, almost on-demand basis. So they're not going to have much more if it goes on like this, particularly those up in the Northeast. And as I'd mentioned in the opening monologue, inflation is beginning to move up. Well, of course it is. We'd already seen price of lumber jumping up. A restaurant owner told me last night that in buying supplies for his restaurant, what would have cost a pound of processed chicken or whatever it was, maybe $5 a pound, now it's almost $20 a pound. And as they go up, then they're going to start passing it on to consumers. So consumers will stop going out, and then you try to buy your grocery. If the trucks can't get the deliveries to the grocery store, there are shortages. There will be inflation. But, of course, the Biden administration, you watch, make note of this, write this down. On this date at this time, I told you the Biden administration will be saying it wouldn't have happened except for the Colonial Pipeline hacking. Well, obviously, it didn't help. But the way they were pushing and giving freebies away and throwing money here and there, it was already starting. We'll take a break when we come back. David Wormser with the Center for Security Policy on the latest on Israel. The past, the current, the future. Please stand by.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
I'm sure many of you do enjoy entertaining guests. I mean, it's your nature to be hospitable, but we all draw the line at unwelcome guests. You know, those that come in tramping around, oh, they're 6 feet, 8 feet, more. And when that happens, you do not want to delay. Call Rottler Pest Solutions immediately. Now, I started using Rottler more than 30 years ago because I wanted professionals. Rottler knows what is needed and at the same time will make sure that your family and pets are safe. Rottler is still family-owned and operated for 3 generations, protecting homes and businesses. 3 generations. That's impressive. So when you want to safely, expertly get rid of ants, spiders, and other critters, call Rottler Pest Solutions, 877-ROTTLER, or you can check their website. Rottler.com, 877-ROTTLER, 877-ROTTLER, Rottler Pest Solutions, Rottler.com.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Well, as I told you earlier, we're waiting to see what the White House, the Joe Biden White House, is going to do regarding Israel and the latest violence involving Hamas raining rockets down on Israel. Now we have word, according to Secretary of State Antony Blinken, that they are sending a State Department official, the name Hadi Amir. I may be wrong on the pronunciation. My next guest may be able to clear it up for me. But he is a State Department official with a history of anti-Israeli views, and he's going to try to encourage Prime Minister Netanyahu to de-escalate. But again, this same guy has in the past accused Israel of ethnic cleansing and justifying Palestinian violence against Israelis. My guest is David Wormser, Center for Security Policy, Director on the Project of Global Anti-Semitism. Glad to have you on board again, sir.
Well, it's great to be here. Thank you.
Well, let me get in. Before I get in some more, I want to go touch on your credentials as well for a moment. But the name Hadi Amir, I may be mispronouncing. I don't know if you're aware of him or not, the one that Biden is now sending to talk to Netanyahu. But he has a past, obviously, of being anti-Israel.
Yeah, his name's Hadi Amir, so you pronounced it quite right. He is with a great history of anti-Israeli activity, including the boycott, divest, and sanctions movement. And this, I think this points to the problem of the Biden administration. Even if you don't have particular agony over Biden or Secretary of State Blinken, I have great reservations about them. But even if you say they're within the realm of normal, on the Arab-Israeli stuff. He has a series of extremely anti-Israeli officials right under that level, at very high levels of government, but right under the cabinet level. And Hadi Amir is one. He heads the entire Arab-Israeli section. He's Lebanese. And then you have Meir Bitar, who heads the White House Senior Director for Intelligence.
So sending somebody like that to Netanyahu, what does that accomplish?
I think it'll just anger the Israelis. I mean, look, they have to treat an American official with respect, and they will treat him with respect. But they're not in a mood to listen. And they're not in a mood to listen, partly because the United States on Iran a week ago said they're not going to listen to the Israelis. So there's already kind of a tension there. But second of all, if the message the Americans are bringing to the Israelis is tamp it down, the Israelis are in the middle of a war. And if they come out of this looking like they lost, then you're going to get – they know now they're going to face a bigger war very soon. This is an extremely dangerous circumstance for Israel.
Yeah, and I want to get into details on that. But I, also in balance, I want to point out that you are a Jewish-American foreign policy specialist. You served as Middle East advisor to former U.S. Vice President Dick Cheney, a special assistant John R. Bolton. You were advising Trump on how to deal with Iran. So some would say, well, you're already locked down on your side. You're not really being that clear and that open about what's best for the world and are these two sides. Your response?
Well, my response is, I mean, I understand the concerns, but let's just follow the line that the White House constantly uses, which is follow the science. If you look at the evidence of the 20, 30 years before 2015, when President Trump was elected, you had two peace treaties that were wheezing and constant rounds of violence every year or two. And wars. So you had a real laboratory perfect application of what they say should be done, and it has failed, and failed again several times in laboratory perfect conditions. In the 4 years that President Trump was president, you had absolutely no violence, almost no terrorism, basically negligible in the last 2 years, and three peace treaties with really a fourth sort of peace treaty.
Right.
In other words, twice as many.
The Abraham Accords. Right.
Abraham Accords.
But you've got leftist media already, state-controlled media, mocking it, saying, well, see, you didn't do anything because you left the Palestinians out of any of those agreements. So you basically caused this to happen.
Oh, the Palestinians left themselves out of those agreements. They were offered to participate and to get quite a bit of help from a conservative American government that was very pro-Israeli, was willing to validate the idea of a state, a Palestinian state, and was willing to give them a good large percentage of the territory that's in dispute here. But they didn't want to even talk. They didn't want to talk to the United States. They refused to even negotiate. So they removed themselves from this. And they then now, in this current round, incited this. They're really arsonists that incited this violence.
Well, very quickly, and folks, you're listening again to David Wormser with the Center for Security Policy. I know it's very hard to ask you to draw down in probably 30 seconds a thumbnail sketch of what led to this most recent violence. I mean, I know there are decades of history and animosity back and forth, back to the founding of Israel anyway, but what was the center point for this latest flare-up?
The center point for this later flare-up was that the Palestinian Authority called elections. They were supposed to take place in May, the first elections in 20, 25 years. By the end of March, it became very obvious that the Palestinian Authority leadership was going to suffer a horribly humiliating defeat and Hamas was going to take over. So they decided to cancel elections, but knew that they would face internal violence. So they triggered and escalated external violence against Israel to blame Israel.
It's
for
a distraction. A distraction? We're having people killed over
but it
a distraction.
Got out of hand.
Sorry?
It's a distraction that got out of hand.
Okay.
Because Hamas then realized, oh, this is a good thing. We'll join in this escalation, competing radicalism through Jewish blood.
Now, another thing I want to get into, since you also advised Trump on Iran, the notice sent out by Hamas last night that a reporter on Fox, I believe, said Hamas thanking Iran for these new rockets, these better rockets than what they had before. There's obviously a clear linkage between Iran and terrorism around the world, and Hamas just flat out admitted it. What do we do?
Well, again, I think this points to the problem with the concept under Obama administration, which was to sign a nuclear deal that wasn't even that ironclad, but ignore all the other bad behavior of Iran and give them billions of dollars as a reward for signing that flawed deal. The problem is all that money went to buy these missiles, develop these missiles, and then send them around to the Middle East, whether it's Yemen or Lebanon or Syria or Iraq hitting American troops or Hamas hitting Israel. This is the wages of trying to buy off Iranian peace. We gave them the money to arm and be a regional problem, and this is now the consequence.
And I don't see in members of our Congress anyone challenging Biden and the administration. I'm looking at Senator Hagerty, Republican of Tennessee, demanding the Biden administration, quote, strongly condemn Hamas at this point. And House Armed Services Committee member Congressman Waltz, Republican of Florida, saying that the actions of this administration are incredibly unhelpful, giving away leverage up front. And everything I see coming out of the Congress is from Republicans. And where are even the Jewish representatives that exist in Congress, Chuck Schumer and so forth? Where are they standing at this point?
Well, the Democratic Jewish leadership is a serious problem. They don't regard Israel as a very high priority in their, for example, the evangelical.
How can they do that?
States.
How can that's a base of their religion. How do they do that?
It's an internal Jewish debate, but the question is, what is their religion? Are they Jewish or are they liberals dressed as, you know, there's a very serious phenomenon of secularism and a secular religion that still uses the dress of where they come from. We see this in some Christian sects too. It's they're not really true to the faith, but they assert themselves as true to the faith, and it's a very serious problem.
Okay, and you're right. Both sides can find parts of their Quran or the Bible to support what they want. But right now, this test, this is, I think, truly a big test, and they're using it, as you say, against Biden, where that we did not have it under Trump. How big of the test is it you see? And the UN is already saying if we don't de-escalate, we could have a global conflict.
Well, it first of all is a sign of weakness by Biden that this is even happening. By the way, look at no further than Colombia, where you had the FARC, the communist Marxist terrorist group that was sponsored by Venezuela, had gone away for 4 years. And now suddenly they're back. In the last week, there's been 29 Colombian soldiers and policemen killed by FARC. So you see this everywhere. Our allies are hunkering down and coming under attack. So it's a test for Biden, too. Strategically, Hamas, Iran, and others who hate Israel understand that when they push the violence, the gut reaction of the Biden administration is going to be to distance from Israel and take a neutral stance. So the violence pays. It drives a wedge between Israel and its primary ally and isolates Israel. So why not? Why not do the violence? So this is a test both of our support for Israel, and it's a test for the United States as the patron of a collection of allies around the world who are pro-American.
All right. I want to thank you very much for your time, David. We cover a lot of territory. You're very good about getting details out for us, and I thank you very much, sir.
Thank you.
We'll do it again, because obviously this story has legs. It's going to be back. It's going to continue for a while, so we'll get you back in the near future again, sir.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. David Wormser at the Center for Security Policy. And again, as I said, the Biden administration, just before I began that segment, I saw a piece released by the Secretary of State Blinken saying they're sending Hadi Amar, a State Department official, over to talk to Netanyahu. But Amar has a history of anti-Israeli views. So, as you heard Wormser say, they'll accept him politely, but diplomatically ignore him. Coming up, is there a way to solve homelessness in 5 years?
You don't tug on Superman's cape. You don't spit into the wind. You don't pull a mask off an old Lone Ranger. And you don't mess around with Jim. I don't do that.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
You do know that with all of the illegal aliens that the Biden administration is allowing in because of its open border policy, pretty much, we're going to have more homelessness. We're going to have those who come into the country who really don't have any place to stay. And you're going to have those who already have jobs and a place to stay suddenly finding themselves crunched against others who suddenly are not paying their fair share or anything of that nature. And they're getting all the gimmies and freebies, and the rest of folks are suffering. And pretty soon you got more folks on the street. It's a cyclical operation that is going to end in more tragedy for many families. But there might be hope if you listen to Governor Gavin Newsom of California, or is it just his last gasp trying to stay in office? Before I get to that, there's a survey out, latest Harvard-Harris poll, finding 65% of registered voters say Biden is encouraging illegal immigration. 65%. I'm thinking, only 65%? Yep, there are 35% say he is discouraging illegal immigration. Show me one thing Biden has said or done to discourage illegal immigration. Now, among those who say he's encouraging illegal immigration, 68% of those who say that are Hispanic, 65% white Americans, 58% black Americans. So across racial boundaries as well, the majority of them are saying he's not helping our country and he's encouraging illegals. The mayor of Del Rio, Texas, along the border, he says, contrary to what you hear from the DHS Secretary Mayorkas or Biden, he said the way things are being handled or managed at this time, the border is wide open for unlawful entry into the U.S. He said, I've reached out to the Biden administration for help to try to control some of this, but I'm told repeatedly the border is, quote, under control, under control. And this mayor of Del Rio, Texas, said we've seen almost a 400% increase in border crossings in the 2021 fiscal year. They want to tell me it's under control. They said it's also peculiar. We have a different set of standards for U.S. citizens compared to illegals regarding COVID. This mayor of Del Rio, Texas, is a Democrat. In California, of course, Governor Gavin Newsom, that's a sanctuary state and city, obviously. They want all the illegals they can get in if they're going to vote the way Democrats believe they will. He's facing a recall and, of course, then an election. Caitlyn Jenner, formerly Bruce Jenner, you know, is running as a Republican, but that's such a far cry from what Republicans are going to want. But it's California. Who knows? There's another Republican California gubernatorial candidate coming forward, Kevin Faulkner. He's got a proposal. This is always going to get votes if you can make it happen. Anytime you offer pie in the sky, you're going to get some votes. He's unveiling what he calls the biggest middle-class tax cut in California history. And he points out the fact, the obvious. California has some of the highest income taxes, highest gas taxes, highest poverty rate in the entire nation. California is too expensive, unaffordable for many California families. So he's proposing individuals receive their first $50,000 income tax-free. Couples, $100,000 tax-free. It's a promise. It's a campaign promise. Keep that in mind. And to that extent, keep this in mind of what Gavin Newsom says he's going to do. He's unveiled a plan that he promises will solve the problem of family homelessness within 5 years. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. California accounted for all of the nation's increase in homelessness in 2018. And the numbers, that's just the most recent verifiable numbers. The numbers obviously still going up. But he's got a plan to end the issue of family homelessness within 5 years. What could it be, Gavin Newsom? What could it be? You know it involves money. Yeah, it involves money. Newsom has already offered what he calls a $100 billion California comeback plan. $100 billion California comeback plan, basically telling California residents, you'll have come back, please, please, if you're going to vote for me. Well, his plan to solve family homelessness within 5 years, spend $12 billion of that $100 million on the homeless. It's going to involve spending money to house them in hotel rooms, eventually purchasing some hotel and apartment buildings for them. Now, of course, he's not going to explain how it's going to prevent from enticing more homeless folks to come into California, nor how it's going to confront the mental health and drug abuse uses, which occur many times among the homeless. It is, again, just like we said with the Republican California gubernatorial candidate, it's a campaign promise, a vision, as it were. Pie in the sky. We'll solve it all in 5 years if you keep me in office. In the next hour, state-controlled media attacking a U.S. senator because he's daring to question Dr. Anthony Fauci and any link he had to the Wuhan lab. Next hour.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.